It was here that I was ordained priest in 2007. I know that the Reverend Gloria Carpinetto and the Reverend Gabriella Velarde Ward share my feelings because they were ordained deacons on that same day, July 14th, 2007, here at Judson. Now, Judson is a church that is known for over a century as a church that exhibits courage, a church that relentlessly stands for justice, for the poor and the oppressed. And Judson surely came through for us in 2007. We had lost the church in which we planned to have our ordinations because of clandestine intimidation of the Lutheran pastor who had planned to host us. Intimidation by the archdiocesan authorities here in New York. We and Roman Catholic women priests are forever grateful for the integrity shown by Reverend Donna Schaefer and Judson Memorial Church in offering us their space on such short notice. We are delighted to be invited to return here today for the ordinations of two more Roman Catholic women priests, and to know that there will be an ongoing relationship between Judson and the New York community of faith known as St. Praxedus Inclusive Catholic Community. I also want to express my personal gratitude to the St. Praxedus community and to Dignity New York, who have contributed so much to make this ordination celebration the wonderfully joyous occasion that it is. Indeed, all of the Roman Catholic women priests of the Eastern region appreciate your love and commitment and solidarity with our mission. I will begin my reflection on what today's chosen readings might have to say about priestly ministry as we understand it in Roman Catholic women priests by first expressing my deep appreciation for the humble yet powerful spirituality of these two ordinands, Alexandra and Mary Rose. It was they who set the theme by choosing the readings. Each one of the readings speaks to the ministerial charism of service from a different perspective, which taken together form a unity, a whole, which gives us a clear picture of what it means to put oneself totally at the service of God and God's people. The passage from Isaiah speaks of God's servant as being endowed with God's Spirit and for a very specific purpose. And that purpose is to bring justice to the nations, not by bluster, not by dominating power, but through resolute witness born of love. It speaks about modeling justice, about serving the cause of right with patience and with perseverance. And it also says, and this is very important, that God pledges to be with the servant. The servant can be sure that God holds his or her hand as she or he becomes a light to the nations, as she or he becomes an empowerer of the poor, an empowerer of the oppressed. So Isaiah's theme is clearly one of call and response in faith, listening to and reflecting on the call, and then acting, responding with integrity. Yes, the call to minister is a call to courage. The reading, which is in the place where a psalm from the book of 150 Psalms usually appears, is taken from an extra-canonical source. It is taken from the four books of the Odes of Solomon. Now, this psalm-like ode is not from the Hebrew Scriptures, as are the 150 Psalms with which we're most familiar. And even though the name Odes of Solomon might also seem to indicate Old Testament origins, in fact, the Odes of Solomon from which we read today originated with a first century Christian community in Syria, which joyfully created its own psalms of praise for its community worship. So it is a New Testament era document. It is written in the light of Christ. Indeed, some of the text, if you listen and read it again very carefully, is even in the voice of Jesus. Listen a bit. Keep my mystery, you who are kept by it. Keep my faith, you who are kept by it. Recognize my knowledge, you who in truth know me. Love me with gentleness, those who love. For I do not turn my face from my own, because I recognize them. Does this not resonate with, and is this not consonant with, what Jesus has said in the 10th chapter of John? I know my sheep, and mine know me. It reinforces the message in the Isaiah passage about the divine commitment to stand with the disciple who hears the call and responds, Hine me, here I am. I believe the key piece in this Ode 8 of the first book of the Odes of Solomon is its emphasis on the essential quality of the disciple, the servant. And that quality is openness to truth and to the joy of serving our God. And in so doing, to producing fruits for the reign of God, which is and which has always been Jesus' deep desire for his disciples. The reading from Romans, in typical Pauline directness of appeal, links the key elements which foster the spreading of the authentic gospel. Those who preach and teach, says Paul, must serve Christ and the reign of God by loving one another in spirit and in truth. This love exhibits itself authentically only by showing mutual respect to all within the community and avoiding all condescension. Genuine ministers of the gospel must welcome all, even persecutors. Disciples must be at peace with all. I would say that the overall message is that only in the light of all of these qualities of true servanthood will the gospel make any sense or ever be received. And so, the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations only makes sense if the servants, the ministers, the disciples are living the gospel with integrity. And this, of course, is not so easy. Fortunately, the final word is, know that I am with you always. And this is a theme that is threaded through all of the readings. Deep faith in and knowledge of Christ's presence in our work of ministry. So, authentic servanthood has everything to do with mutuality and respect in ministry within the community of disciples and beyond. It calls for deep faith in Christ's presence on our journey, unfailing commitment to true justice, and willingness to speak and to act for justice. Authentic servanthood is about openness to all. It is about connection, and at the same time, about making space. It is about creating shalom. It is about creating true Catholicity which is always, always about wholeness. An amazing thing has happened in just the space of these past 14 months. Pope Benedict XVI resigned from the office of Pope, and a new Pope was elected. One who has publicly modeled over the past year a different model of ministry, a simpler style of leadership, a scaling back of the pomp of the papal office, an active orientation towards solidarity with the poor and the oppressed, and a willingness to listen and to learn from the community of faith. This is a wonderful and welcome thing. It's heartening to all who desire deeply a new beginning, a new model of ministry, one that is less dependent on bureaucratic structures inherited from a monarchical era. It is a sign of hope for the future. We in RCWP can resonate with all of this. Indeed, it's a great boost to our mission, which is to prepare and ordain women called to priestly ministry to serve in a renewed model which honors and values the principles of inclusivity and mutuality, and which is about the business of seeking the justice called for by the reign of God. So, what does this our movement, this movement within the Roman Catholic tradition called Roman Catholic Women Priests, have to say about the model of priestly ministry needed in the church in our times? What does our movement contribute at this time when our new Pope wants to reform the way the church ministers? Many of you are already well acquainted with our RCWP movement, now 11 years serving in priestly ministry worldwide. And by the way, today we rejoice that nearly 180 RCWP ordained women serve the people of God in 10 countries on 4 continents. But for those who are not so familiar, I will now share a bit about how our movement seeks to answer the call to service in a renewed Catholic Church. In our movement, one of the top priorities is our self-governance, and this is to honor the spiritual authority of women, to honor the faith experience of women, and the history of women's service to the church and to the gospel. And we do this by giving all of our members an equal voice in governance, and recognizing that decisions affecting local and regional communities are best made at those levels, we operate on the principle of subsidiarity, and we hold one another to mutual accountability to our vision and principles, and to spiritual authenticity and moral integrity consistent with gospel values. We surely see ourselves as a renewal movement within the larger Roman Catholic Church, with something to offer the larger Roman Catholic Church as it hopefully moves forward. And equally importantly, it serves as a communion of local, our movement serves as a communion of local and regional entities whose common purpose is to promote the ordination of women and men, we have ordained some men, in full apostolic succession as a matter of justice to the people of God. Justice to the people of God, and faithfulness to the gospel. Our vision includes pledges to work for justice, human dignity for all persons, to model a leadership of service and empowerment in all pastoral activities and practices, and to model unity in diversity, to live in solidarity with the marginalized and with the oppressed, to model inclusion and interdependence. Like our new Pope Francis, we call for open doors to welcome all. Accordingly, we choose to ordain pastors who, as he has said, should not be, who are not careerists. In fact, we are self-supporting. We pledge ourselves also to model nonviolence and respect for all persons, and to model a reflective and contemplative spirituality, living and walking humbly with God in the mystery of life. In sum, inclusivity and empowerment of people are the core of our ministry, no matter with whom we minister. We know ourselves to be pastors to those on a journey, as pilgrims moving toward the fullness of life that our loving God offers. And we in Roman Catholic Women Priests see our movement as a spirit-filled movement fed by the insights of Vatican Council II and called by God to move forward from discussion into action. Action always fed by contemplation. We have acted. Today we are acting, knowing that the purpose of our action is to give witness to a way of being church and of ministering that, far from going against the apostolic tradition, captures and proclaims the very heart of it. Alexandra and Mary Rose have said yes to this model of ministry. It is in fact one they have embraced for some years already, and they now can practice it as ordained priests. And they can do this surrounded by many sisters and brothers who have also committed themselves to this mission. Our model of priestly ministry is focused on co-creating the reign of God here and now by being open to many surprises as pilgrims on the journey on which God is leading us. Today, Roman Catholic Women Priests USA Eastern Region calls forth Alexandra Dyer and Mary Rose Patrizzo to be ordained priests. They are called forth to lead in love God's community of equal disciples in the Roman Catholic Church. The aim of our ministry is to first recognize and then nurture and to rejoice in the exercising of service, diaconia, by the whole people of God. And we are truly grateful for our call to take part in the great reform of our beloved church in its unity and its diversity. Jesus said to his disciples in our gospel reading, "Go and make disciples of all nations. In joy, let us indeed go forth together with these soon-to-be new priests, these new community leaders empowered by the Spirit." And let the people of God say,